We say that we are Jewish, not Jew-ish, we're Jewish. We call ourselves Jews. Sometimes it sounds like we worship someone named Judy when we remark that we practice Judaism. But really, these words are the way that English speakers kind of slightly mangle the Hebrew words. Yehudi, Jewish. Yehudim, Jews. We change that Y to a J for reasons I do not know. Yehuda is a person, a biblical figure who appears in our Torah portion this week. In English, we call him Judah. Who is he? Why are we named for him? Why, according to our name, are we basically Judahists? Judah, is one of Jacob's 12 sons, and as generations passed along, each of Jacob's sons grew into a tribe, and most of the tribes inherited a large parcel of land on which they worked and they lived. The tribe of Judah owned Judea. You're seeing a pattern here, an area around Jerusalem. By the time the Romans came in and destroyed Jerusalem in the year 70, Judah was the only one of the tribes left. And nearly all of the ones who survived within the tribe were sent into exile. They were called Judeans, Yehudim. They were not only people who had lived in this place called Judea, but they were people who shared a common culture and a common religion. And here we are today, the only one of the 12 tribes still running around the planet. So who is this guy we're named for? Who was that first Judean, Judah? What amazing feats of heroism, acts of faith, incredible righteousness did he display to become our people's namesake? Well, let's take a look at the book of Genesis. Judah, as Jacob's son, is also one of the brothers of Jacob's favorite child, if anyone saw the play, or you may have read the story, Joseph. And Judah and his brothers are really sick of Joseph's braggy ways and his lording his position in the family over them. So when Joseph makes a trip on foot out to where his brothers are shepherding so he can see how they're doing and hang out with them, most of them want to literally kill him, which is definitely beyond the normal acts of sibling rivalry, which usually is like arm punches or wedgies or something. So the Torah story, as it goes, it's kind of confusing. But first, the oldest brother, Reuben, says, "Hey guys, this is not cool. How about we just throw him in this pit that is conveniently located right next to us?" So they rough him up a bit and toss him in the deep and conveniently located pit, and then they excuse themselves to sit and eat their lunch. So they're sitting and they're munching away, and some Ishmaelite merchants come through. They come riding through, and Judah, remember he's who we're talking about, says, "What do we gain from killing him? Let's sell him off to the Ishmaelites as a slave." So, okay, this is maybe a better option than killing him, but so far, Judah is not appearing very saintly. The second place we read about Judah is in a story a few chapters later in Genesis. And to explain this story properly and fully would take a lot of time, and it would not be the least bit family friendly. I'll just say this much. The story stars Tamar. Tamar was married to one of Judah's sons, but this son died. For very holy and very ethical reasons, and you just have to take my word for it, Tamar dresses up as, let's say, an escort in order to tempt her father-in-law, Judah. Judah immediately takes the bait, and 9 months later, the twins, Peretz and Zerah, are born. So I'm not sure if this story is better or worse than the other one. Selling his brother into slavery, I don't know, but in any case, neither reflects very well on Judah, and we're still left wondering, why are we possibly carrying his name? So if we were to look at the texts like a biblical scholar would, we might say, well, these stories about Judah really came later from other tribes who wanted Judah to look bad so they could look better, and they kind of went back and inserted them in the text. And, you know, that may be true. But there's a more meaningful explanation. And that involves looking a few chapters and a number of years ahead to this week's Torah portion. Judah and his brothers travel from home to Egypt to seek food during the time of a terrible famine. And the Egyptian leader that they are led to is, unbeknownst to them, their little brother Joseph. Well, they don't recognize him, of course, and so Joseph decides to kind of toy with their emotions for a while because he's not totally over the being thrown in a pit and sold into slavery thing. So Joseph tells his older brothers that he's going to hold on to the littlest brother, Benjamin, and he's going to make all the other brothers go back and tell their father that Benjamin is gone too. This is when Judah speaks up. He says to Joseph, "Now, my lord, let me remain in place of the boy. I will be your lordship's slave. Let him go with his brothers. How can I return to my father without the boy? I could not bear to see the misery which my father would suffer." This is a really different Judah. He is offering to sacrifice himself because the loss of another son would cause pain to his father. He is willing to put himself into slavery in order to save his little brother and to protect his already emotionally wounded father. And here we have a Judah story that contains meaning for us, the people of Judah, Yehudim. Judah is far from perfect. Judah has had an ethically rocky start at best, but Judah has done an immense amount of self-growth. He has clearly and honestly faced the selfishness and the thoughtless impulsiveness of his past, and he's chosen to work hard to move beyond it. He has truly made teshuvah. He has fully turned himself around and turned his poor choices around. I think there's a major lesson to be learned here. As Yehudim, Jews, Judahites, we have each made mistakes. We have performed actions and spoken words in our past that we might not want to remember. But our task in life is not to be perfect. It is instead to examine ourselves honestly and do the work to become more giving, more outward focused. This is our legacy, our mission, our responsibility. Carrying Judah's name reminds us that our past does not determine our future. We are all capable of learning, of growing, of evolving ever closer to the people we want to be. Amen.